Alrighty, everybody. Welcome back to another week of the Human Podcast. I'm not entirely sure if I even put out the last one. I might have just, you know, completely, you know, zoned it out. And
well, you'll find out when you go to upload this one.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I'm like, oh, no, did I? Maybe, maybe not.
Then did they just get a twofer special, or yeah. Then it becomes a back shelf episode?
Nope, I just, you know, upload them, you know, one after the other. Just, you know, it's fine. But we did have, it was Thanksgiving and Black Friday and Capitalism Day. We didn't have any turkey.
Turkey's nasty.
My favorite part about Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah, and this is a human podcast.
I'm you already Alex. Said that.
Did I?
I thought so.
Yeah, maybe.
You had your, like, trucker voice on for a second.
My trucker voice?
Yes, you have a trucker voice.
I have a trucker
voice? You always intro with your trucker voice.
With my trucker voice?
Yes!
I'm offended now.
No, whenever you do your jokes and you talk about other truckers, that's the voice you use for the other truckers.
The other... See, like...
It's his business voice. It's his business voice.
You have to, like, come out running. Like, that's the whole thing with, like, any podcast. You have to, like, boom, and, like, you know, hit it hard.
Yeah, and you pull out your trucker voice for it.
I don't have a trucker voice.
You do.
Like the voice I use, like, when I'm actually in the truck sounds nothing like this. My voice when I'm in the truck is like, move your fucking ass out of my goddamn way. If you want to go back to California or Texas, go back there. Fuck you, stay out of my goddamn state. Like, that's
literally your normal voice.
That's, you know, how I sound?
That's, yeah. No.
But, like, that's me being nice. You know, usually I'm like, I hope you fucking fall off this goddamn mountain and, you know, get fucking hurt. Like, I hope you survive the fucking fall. I'd be like, oh, shit. And then your car's just destroyed and your vacation's fucking over. And, you know, and the fucking Winnebago that you're fucking hauling behind is just totaled and you never get to go on vacation again.
Aw, the poor Winnie.
Yeah, it's always like these fucking, you know, dipshits that are fucking hauling, you know, their, you know, side-by-sides or, you know, hauling their fifth-wheel campers that drive like just complete jackasses. You're on vacation. Get out of the fucking way.
I mean, some of them have screaming kids in the back, so can you blame them?
You shouldn't have had them if you didn't want them. Pull out. Come on her tits. It's way better. You know, turn her into a fucking little toaster strudel.
Ew.
You know, see if you can get like two, you know, you know, like hit like both, you know, nipples like they're fucking targets.
Ew!
Like do that.
Wait, have you ever once thought that in your head?
All the time. Are you kidding me?
What the fuck?
I like look at nipples and like they're little targets for like my cum.
Ew.
Yeah, like you don't want to know the fucking horrendous shit that goes through a guy's head. You know, like there's times where I'll just be like sitting there. I'm like, don't say that. You know, and I'll just like let the moment pass. And I'm like, there, I'm better off for it.
I'm like, what did I have to talk you out of sending to your dad?
So my dad sent, you know, like a group chat. This is, you know, old boomer white men things. Just group chat to like me, my wife, my two brothers. Happy Thanksgiving. Nothing else, just happy Thanksgiving. You know, he might have said something else. I didn't really like read it. I just saw.
Said we miss you.
Sure. And so I'm like, and I thought about, you know, sending back. I'm like, you're welcome for our ancestors saving your white asses. You know, or something snarky like that.
It was snarkier, but that's pretty close.
And I'm just like, okay. Let's not do that.
There's, like, levels of your snark. And, like, your dad, I think, is okay up to, like, level 6. But you were pulling a hard 8.
I'm like, you know, like when I'm on, you know, Facebook, I think about it all the time. I think about, you know, like someone posting something, you know, like heartfelt and genuine. And like, there's just like a little fucking, you know, evil part of me that's like, do something snarky, say something snarky. I'm like, no, just leave it alone. Just get off of Facebook. Because then, you know, if you say something snarky, then a bunch of people are going to come out of the woodworks and make, how fucking dare you? You're a piece of shit. And it's like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah, was it worth the effort?
Yeah, of course. Every time. It's always worth the fucking effort. But, you know, I'm just like, just let it pass. Just, And then there's just times where I'm just like, yeah, I can't stop myself. You know, but I've been trying to do better. I try to, you know, post nice things. I try and post genuine, heartfelt things. I'm like, oh, yeah, that, you know.
Where?
I posted one genuine, nice thing. My friend's husband died, and so I'm like, I'm sorry that happened. That sucks.
I have to say, you never post shit on your page.
No, not on my page, on her page.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah, and I'm like, there would be, it's just inappropriate to, you know. My first instinct was say something nice. She's going through a bad time right now. And having to field fucking everything. So I'm just going to like let it, you know, simmer a bit. And then, you know, like, hey, how are you doing? Now that everyone's like, hey, you know, sorry that happened, champ. You'll get over it. It's funny. Like, your little, like, background, Courtney, is, like, you know, cut off. Like, at your forehead.
Yeah. I know. It was weird.
Oh, okay. You can see it too? Okay, I'm just...
Of course she can see it.
I just imagine her, like, on Candy Crush during, like, the podcast, like, you know, and then I say something genuinely funny, and she's like, oh, I'm back in. Mo.
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, of course, all the time. I get it. You know, like I'll be doing comedy up on stage, and if I can get someone to put down their phone, that's a win. Without yelling at them either. Like, because people, like, you'll get up on stage and people will be on their phone. And, like, the challenge is to get them to put down their phone and actually pay attention to the shit that you're saying, because it's so much funnier than the memes that they see on Instagram. Okay, hop up then. There you go. I don't know why you hop up and hop down.
She's a Mo. It's up to a Mo to decide what a Mo wants to do.
There, are you happy now?
Oh, she's real happy. She's giving me a big ol' shitty look.
Like, Mochi doesn't care if I'm, like, just sitting here playing games or whatever. She's just like, oh, you're doing your fucking podcast thing? Yeah, I'm gonna bother you now. Right. Find a comfy spot. Find a happy spot. Not on my balls, please.
So I sit behind you, so all I can see is her tail sashing from side to side like a little shark fin. I don't see her actually moving around until she pops up in sight.
There, are you happy? I cleared that all off for you, so you can have your little, you know, throne back.
Oh yeah, you did.
Oh.
Yeah, I have like a subwoofer on top of my mini fridge, and she likes to sit up there because she can see everything. But, yeah, my favorite part about Thanksgiving in general is just watching all the fucking turkey fails. You know, everybody that, you know, got themselves a fucking turkey cooker for the first time ever, like the propane turkey cooker, and they, like, set it up, put in all the peanut oil, and they're like, yeah. And they, like, you know, have the 20-pound turkey, and they're just like, and they just drop it in. And, like, everything just engulfs in flames.
Like, did you never watch your mom fry chicken?
It's a turkey. It's a completely different thing. But, like, though,
when you have something hot, you slow and you drop it away from you.
I mean, it'll fucking get you. So they're scared of it fucking getting them. But yeah, no, they'll fill it all the way to the top. You know, this is just, you know, drunk dude math. Like, it'll be fine. And they just, you know, like, if it's at the top, it'll stay at the top.
Who decided that deep fried turkey tastes good?
I'm sure some fucking idiot.
Or is this just a Darwin test?
I mean, it's to see who would die in the apocalypse first.
A well-known delicacy.
It's just like, you know, you see them pull out the fucking, you know, just charred black. Like, I didn't know you could char something black in oil. I didn't know that was a possibility. And then I see people pulling out their fucking turkeys just ruined.
Anything's possible when it comes to stupid.
And also my second favorite, and I feel bad for these people, are the ones that have like macaroni or a casserole or a lasagna in like a fucking aluminum tin. And then it just buckles under the weight of all the fucking food and just falls out of their hands onto the floor. Like 2 hours before everyone's set to arrive.
The chili.
Just, like, or their dish will just explode in the oven. It's like, yeah.
If your dish explodes in the oven, you did something wrong.
Thermal shock will do that. Yeah.
Oh, am I dead with my pizza stone?
Yeah.
Oh. I broke a pizza stone, but I've never broken any of my glass cookware.
It's because I'm pretty sure we have, like, real Pyrex. We at least have, you know, the good anchor stuff.
Yeah.
We also don't cook that much with the glassware either.
Well, if I go buy new glassware, I'm buying it from freaking thrift shops where it's already been proven.
Well, you know, there's these insane people that go to thrift shops just to look for official Pyrex. They're like, okay, let me find the real shit. And I'm like, ugh. Let other people fucking, you know, have a chance to find some cool shit, please.
Thrift stores are where it's at.
Well, if you're going to a thrift store to make money, like, I get it. You're doing your hustle. And I respect the fucking hustle. But let other people fucking, you know, get shit that they need. Yeah. I'm drinking all the eggnog before I fucking start to hate it again.
Oh, yeah. When I texted you, you could have told me you already had eggnog.
Oh, trust me. I'll drink all the fucking eggnog.
You have, what, 8 gallons of eggnog now?
The big things are only a half gallon.
Okay. Well, my over-exaggeration is less fun that you now that you know more math than me.
Oh, trust me, as the person that drinks it, I'm like, I can drink a half gallon of eggnog, no problem, straight to the dome. Drinking a gallon of eggnog, that puts me into a world of pain. That sucks.
We were both in pain.
I mean, me most of all.
I had to smell it.
That sucks for you.
It was worse. Okay, it didn't beat the expired yogurt, but it was close.
Expired yogurt? What are you talking about?
You got an entire flat of expired yogurt from one of your friends because they were going to throw it away, and then you proceeded to eat it, and oh my god.
Oh yeah, I remember that. So the hotel that I go to, you know, like they cannot, you know, if you, you know, serve food at all, you cannot serve expired food. So all the, you know, yogurt was like about to, he had an entire flat of yogurt and it was, you know, wintertime. And so it's like, hey, you want this whole flat of yogurt? You know, otherwise I just have to like throw it away. I'm like, sure. Yeah. I'll throw it in the back of my truck, you know, stay cold back there. And so I got it, you know, home, still fucking freezing, still, you know, got it in my, you know, here. And I, you know, filled up my mini fridge with all this, you know, yogurt, and I just, you know, ate like 6 of them a day.
It was awful.
It was the best time of my life. Trust me, if he fucking offers it again, I'm taking it again.
There were literally nights I would go out and sleep in the living room.
I'm not that bad.
No, they were that bad, babe.
I'm sure it's fine.
No. It was awful.
Well, that throws us right into the first story. Butt breathing can help people who can't get oxygen the regular way.
I'm assuming we're not talking about tardigrades.
Tardigrades.
I did my best.
I mean, like, I do the opposite of butt breathing. I, like, butt breathe out, and it's like, I don't ever butt breathe in. But, Takanori, Takabe is on a mission to find out if people can breathe through their butts. As a medical doctor and a stem cell biologist, Takabe spends most of his time in the trying to develop lab-made livers to treat organ failure. His side quest is to explore backside breathing. Began several years ago when his father caught pneumonia and had to be put on a ventilator. I was really shocked in how invasive it is. Yeah, of course.
No one knows what that is until they see it, and they're like, oh. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like...
There's a reason we don't use them in the vet world.
Yeah, when you do, like...
Some of the shit they do in humans we would never do in the vet world because it's fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, when people have, you know, DNRs on their shit, it's, like, for a reason. Like, they're gonna fuck you up when trying to resuscitate you. And it's not a great time. He was really shocked about how invasive it is. Cincinnati Children's Hospital in Ohio, the University of Osaka in Japan. Takabe was worried about how the procedure might affect his dad, who had already had part of one lung removed to a past infection. His father's lack wasn't enough. That's when Takabe got curious if he could help patients get oxygen into their body without involving the lungs. I mean, technically, yes. I see where this guy is coming from. You know, if you can, you know, use your butt to fucking get oxygen into the blood.
Okay, I thought this was going to lead with them using, like, certain type of lining of the gut to replace the cells of the lung. Like, they were looking at how they could, like, snap from one organ and translocate into another organ. I wasn't expecting this. Okay, this is cooler.
But, yeah, no, he was pretty much getting the idea from freshwater fish, called loaches, for instance, that can swallow air to supplement in their gill breathing in low oxygen water. With his background in gastroenterology, Takabe knew that the intestinal tract is rich in blood vessels. That's why enemas can deliver medicine to the bloodstream. Takabe suspected that perhaps oxygen could pass from the intestines to the bloodstream, too.
Capillaries.
This is fucking smart. I like this guy.
Okay. Oh, my God. I wasn't wrong. This is what he is talking about. Okay.
Takabe and his colleagues developed an enema-like treatment that sends liquids called some fucking crazy word. Pure fluorodecillin up the rectum.
It'll be decillin.
Pure fluorodecillin up the rectum. This liquid, which already is used in some medical procedures, can be loaded up with oxygen.
Yeah.
As it releases that oxygen into the body, space in the, you know, liquid's chemicals, you know, structures open to, you know, absorb inhaled oxygen and carbon.
Wait, absorb exhaled.
As it releases oxygen into the body, the space, the liquid chemicals structures opens. So it takes the carbon dioxide out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this liquid works as a lung, essentially. This is fucking cool.
This is cool.
In experiments with, you know, mice, pigs, enemas of the super oxygen-rich liquid helped animals survive in low oxygen conditions. Each 400 millimeter dose boosted pigs' blood oxygen for about 19 minutes at a time.
Okay.
Takabe's team shared the findings in Med 2021. Further pig tests reported in 2023 showed the technique can improve animals' oxygen levels for up to a half an hour.
Okay, so this has a very short availability.
Well, no. Like, okay. I'm sure they're like only doing it for like little bits at a time.
Well, no, that's how long the medicine's lasting. Like, they have to scientifically figure out how to make it last longer till to like to maybe it like lasts every 12 hours so it can be a twice a day medication. This is cool.
Now, the researchers have tested the safety of butt breathing in people. 27 healthy male volunteers in Japan each took a dose of the non-oxygenated, fucking long word, up the anus and were asked to hold it for an hour. Those smallest doses got a squirt of 25 millimeters. The biggest dose was a whopping 1.5 liters?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, now the large intestinal tract's pretty damn big.
It's still a lot. The maximum approved for the contrast agent liquids used in x-ray scans of the GI tract. Four of the six men in the planned 1.5 liter group had to stop receiving liquid early due to stomach pain, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But most of those who got up to a 1 liter fared pretty well. Bloating and mild tummy discomfort aside, Takabe's team reports in the Stemmer 12 Med that the researchers were funded by EVA Therapeutics, a startup that Takabe Cow founded to pursue the project. This is fucking smart. I like all of this. Even if people could technically get oxygen through the intestines, sustained oxygen support would require a lot of enemas. Precisely. Over and over. A liter of the fucking crazy liquid carries 500 milliliters of oxygen. We use 250 milliliters a minute.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it can be added in as a support system.
I mean, I feel like, you know, if they could find a way to get oxygen back into it and, like, have it as a loop, like fucking dialysis.
So they need to make it so that it has a sustained effect. It's not like, oh, we're on the medication, now it don't work anymore. It can't be held in the system longer.
Well, I mean, if you remove the oxygen from water, fish will fucking, you know, die.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, I mean, if there's, like, a way to, like, fucking dialysis this thing and have, you know, continuous, you know, oxygenated, you know, butt water going in them.
I know, but you can't walk around with water being shut up your... being shoved up your butt continuously. You have to be able to work.
Unless, you know, you just...
Unless you're rich enough that you don't have to work when you get sick.
Yeah, or if you're, like, in a hospital bed. You know, with fucking, you know, like, pneumonia or something like that. And, you know, it's like, you know, we can't fucking, you know, get oxygen into them. It's like, boom, there we go. Right up the butt. Butt breathing. You know, or have like a backpack that fucking, you know, cleans it, reoxygenates it, and puts it back in. You'd be able to walk around. I'm sure people walk around.
Have you ever had an enema?
No.
Okay. As you've never had an enema?
Actually, we have the fucking...
That's different.
How's that different?
It's completely different.
Has an enema function. It's an enema. As far as I'm concerned, I'm an enema boy.
As someone who's never had a true enema, you have no legs to speak on.
I don't speak out of my legs anyway.
I know I said the phrase wrong.
You can't speak out your legs.
You cannot speak out.
But you
out
can
your
breathe
legs.
Out your butt. Yeah, no, this is fucking amazing. Like, I love all of this. And I'm like, this is just like one dude's like, I guarantee you it just started as like a fucking drunk thought of like, I wonder if I can breathe through my butt. And then like his like, you know, Asian brain's like, all right, time to find out how to do it. And he did it. Very proud of this man. Hell yeah, Japan's awesome. You know, next story. Thai woman found alive in coffin after being brought in for cremation.
This is why we need more wakes.
I mean, I'm sure she was, like, not doing well. I'm sure she's, like, dead by now.
Probably.
Bangkok.
This is the whole point of wakes. You stood around and got drunk while you waited for your drunk friend to wake up to confirm he was dead before you buried him.
Yeah, but this is back when, you know, alcohol could blind you.
Yeah. I'm kind of sad I missed out on those days. Aren't you?
No!
I'm not.
I fucking, you know, did so much shit back in my days, I'm surprised I'm alive. I drank Everclear back in my days.
But it wasn't the M thing with the L, right?
The M thing with the L.
Yeah, there, it's an alcohol you said you would never make me drink, but it has an M and an L in it.
Oh, fucking, My brain's saying Merlot, and it's not Merlot.
It's not Merlot. Because I already know I don't like Merlot. The point is...
God.
Who has died from drinking Everclear?
Let's see. Chicago's famous drink... Malort.
There we go.
I'm like my brain's like, do not fucking think of that evil word. Malort. Yeah, it's fucking god awful. Like, I was showing my wife, you know.
I'm not convinced I wouldn't like it.
I'm half tempted to just get you, like, if I can find, like, a shooter of Malort, you know, just be like, hey.
Here's... I'm really curious to try it because you know how much I like bitter.
I mean, it's like fucking drinking a fucking, like, take a cigarette off the ground and, like, ground it up and, like, put it into a drink and then, like, piss in that drink and then, like, put burnt hair in there and then take a shot of that. And I'm sure it tastes better than, it's fucking awful. Just, like. There's things that you can drink and things you cannot drink. That is one of the things you cannot drink. Like I'm sure some asshole was like at fucking middle school, be like, hey, let's make a drink that no one can drink. And then, like, it was a joke that went too far and, like, fuck. Now people are buying it to, you know, just challenge their friends to drink it. Like, that is entirely how they fucking keep alive as a company. It's like, hey, like, even the word sounds disgusting. Malort. You want some Malort? Ugh. Gross. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I want to try Malort. It's like famous last words. Like, I have had a shot of Everclear that had weed in the bottle. So, like, all the fucking weed, all the bottle was green. And I'm like, that was fucking awful. Just straight, too. No chaser. I made a face. And, yeah, this just gives me, like, flashbacks. It's like flashbacks at NOM, and I wasn't even in NOM. I'm like, oh, no. That was awful. But, you know. This is probably how this fucking lady passed out, honestly. This Thai woman probably had some more lort, and it's like, and like, it took her that long to, you know, like, oh no, grandma's dead. I bought a malort next to her, and it's like, just like one shot out of it. Yeah. A woman in Thailand shocked temple staff when she started moving in her coffin after being brought in for cremation. Why would you get her a coffin if you're going to cremate her? What a waste of money. Now let's keep going. Wat Rat Pakhorn Thom, a Buddhist temple in the province of a place. Non Thaburi. I'm saying all of this wrong. I am apologizing to you people. I'm sorry. Posted a video on its Facebook group showing a woman lying in a white coffin in the back of a pickup truck, slightly moving her arms and head, leaving the temple staff bewildered. They put the name, and I'm like, fuck. Perat Stupud. Stud Hoop.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I zoned out for a second, and I thought I heard you say, like, stupid in, like, a really stupid way. And I looked up, and I don't think you're wrong.
I mean, I apologize to this family. I do not mean to disrespect you. I don't know the language, and I do not know how to say your names. I am sorry. You know, you can reach out to me at Alex Atrelka on Instagram and bitch me out. It's fine.
I'm sure if our words sound like cuss words in other words, languages, too.
It's S-O-O-D-T-H-O-O-P. Sood Thop. It's a nightmare. That's why I tried to, like, just, like, you know, muscle through it. Like, okay. The temple's general and finance manager told the Associated Press on Monday that the 65-year-old woman's brother drove from the province of... Nah, I'm not even trying. Pithrolog. Like, if I say this word, I'm going to, like, summon a demon. Jesus Christ. To be cremated. They say they heard a faint knock coming from the coffin. I was a bit surprised. You know, I imagine, you know, fucking the brother's like, oh, fuck. And she's like, I'm not dead. Like the Monty Python bit. Baby Mo, can you not do that?
Wait, was he killing her for her money?
I doubt it. They're in Bangkok. They don't have money. According to the brother, said his sister had been bedridden for about 2 years. When her health deteriorated, she became unresponsive, appearing to stop breathing for 2 days. Do some butt breathing, dude. Be all good. The brother then placed her in a coffin and made the 300-mile journey to a hospital in Bangkok, where the woman had previously expressed her wish to donate organs. I hate to, you know, be the bearer of bad news, but if you're old, they're not taking your organs.
Wait, so was she confirmed dead, or, like, he was, like, taking care of her at home?
He was 300 miles away from Bangkok in Thailand. I mean, I don't think, like, he had a doctor to be like, is she dead? I mean, she was just unresponsive. It's like, the second she starts to sleep, it's like, all right, in the coffin you go. All right, let's get you out of here. That way I can, like, you know, fuck some bitches over here. What, Mo? All right, come on. Mo, you're probably stepping on things. Stop it. Come here. Okay, Mo. Why do you have to do this, Mo? Stop it. Stop. Come here.
I'm trying to think of technical difficulties with a cat pun. I'm not coming up with anything.
This is a catastrophe. Come here.
Is she damaging something, or what is she doing?
She's, like, standing, like, on the board threateningly. And like, I can't see, like, my levels or anything, because... Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Why don't you just kick her out?
I can't, because she's, like, wedged herself in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's a little brat. She knows what she's doing.
Of course she does.
Oh, my.
So, yeah. So, this dude fucking drove 300 miles because, like, his, you know, sister's like, I want to donate my organs.
Yeah.
And... I imagine, like the doctor gets, like, the 65-year-old liver and is like, what is this? Why is it hard? Like, I'm sure, like, my liver at this point is like, ugh. They throw it in the garbage. The hospital refused to accept the brother's offer as he didn't have an official death certificate.
Thank you.
His temple offered free cremation service, which is why the brother approached them on Sunday, but they also refused due to a missing document. Oh, thank you for bureaucracy, I guess. The temple's manager said that while he was explaining on how to get a death certificate, they heard the knocking. Then they assessed her and sent her to a nearby hospital. The abbot said that the temple would cover her medical expenses. That's nice. You know, hey, burn my sister alive. Okay, well, she's not dead. Okay, yeah, we'll take care of her. Isn't it nice to be in America where, you know, a hospital's right around the corner if you live in a big city? Ah, it's great. But on to the next story. Oh, God, this one. This is, like, the worst. So, there is a dude that, you know, has a council seat in Namibia. He won the last, you know, election, and he won the current election. His name is Adolf Hitler. And, you know, he has removed the name Hitler from his identity document. And now it is a name that I have fucking no idea how to, you know, even say anymore. It is UUNONA. UUNONA. I think that is pretty close, honestly. Adolf UUNONA. My name is not Adolf Hitler. I'm Adolf UUNONA. I've seen people in the past calling me Adolf Hitler, trying to associate me with someone I don't even know. I feel bad for this dude because his dad named him Adolf Hitler without understanding the historical significance of the name. It's like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, it sucks.
And he is like an older dude, too. So, and, you know.
Okay, babe, did you ever see Life of Pi?
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Okay, so the kid's original name. So his name is Pissing because his uncle went to a hotel and he liked the hotel. And so he recognized that name to his brother as a name for his kid. But in the school, everyone called him Pissing. And so one year to like at the beginning of the year, he wrote out like, I don't know, like how many digits of the Pi algorithm. And so he managed to change his nickname to Pi from Pissing.
See, like that's the thing I love about India is like people will give, you know, Indian people so much shit. You know, because they live in insane amounts of poverty. And their culture is so different than ours.
Their culture is way cooler. But continue.
Some of their...
Some. Yeah. Any culture is cooler.
Yeah, I mean... They have, like, a festival where they throw cow shit at each other.
And that's a bad thing because... You would go to that and you would enjoy yourself.
I would not go to that. Absolutely not.
I would fucking go to it and I would enjoy it and I would enjoy myself.
They'd get cow shit in your hair.
And? If I lived in India, wouldn't my hair be pink?
No, you're like
be you brown would... from all the cat shit or the cow shit.
From all the cat shit. But I like yeah, I mean like you know, like I've met, you know, quite a few Indians and like they're you know, good, respectable people. And then, like, it just takes a few to, like, just turn, like, a bunch of racists all fucking crazy. And I'm like, dude, you know, stop it. You know, all you have to do is just, you know, kind of, you know, like, look at them as a whole. Like, people like, oh, all these fucking Indian, you know, scam call centers. It's like, yeah, people in India hate them, too.
Well, of course they do.
You know, like, yeah, we hate those fucking people. You know, they make the rest of us look like we're all fucking trying to scam your grandma for all our fucking inheritance. It's like, yeah, okay. So yeah, I don't put a blanket statement on, you know, any one country. Except for America, because we're fucking awesome. Yeah, we're just, like, we know how to, like, roll out the crazies. So. But yeah, I feel bad for this dude, but, you know, he's no longer Adolf Hitler. He's Adolf Hitler Unonia. Then that's what I'm going to call him. I'm going to, like, hello, like, if I ever, like, see him in, like, real life, if he ever, like, comes to America, I'll be like, hello, Mr. Unonia. He's like, oh, that was so bad. Just call me Hitler. It's fine. But speaking of more shit like that, author of Inconvenient Indian discovers that he has no indigenous roots. I don't know what Inconvenient Indian is. I'm sure it's a book.
Yeah, if it says author.
A book by Thomas King. Yeah, Inconvenient Indian, a curious account of native people in North America. Okay. An award-winning... What?
What's it about?
Okay, let me see. Inconvenient Indian, a curious account of the native people in North America is a book by the American-Canadian author Thomas King, first published in 2012. It presents the history of indigenous people in North America. The book had been adapted into a documentary film titled The Inconvenient Indian, directed by Michelle Latimer, which premiered at the Toronto Film Festival in 2020. King's work is an account of the history of the people of indigenous right and treaties in North America. He notes the portrayal of indigenous people in popular media, as having contributed greatly to the public knowledge of North American Indians. The book ends on the following note: in the last 500 years, are any indication what Native people of North America do with future should be very curious indeed.
So was he did he also think he was Native American?
Yeah, I'm pretty damn sure.
Okay. Because whether he is or not, shit doesn't need to have any bearing on the book.
But, I mean, his name is Thomas King. Like, motherfucking, you know, Indian. But an award-winning Canadian-American author whose career was tied to his apparent indigenous ancestry has recently learned that he has no Cherokee roots. Thomas King revealed the findings on Monday in an opinion piece published by the Globe and Mail newspaper. The announcement follows a mid-November meeting with King and two of the Tribal Alliance Against Frauds, a U.S.-based group dedicated to exposing people who falsely claim American Indian heritage. I mean, I think I have, like, enough Native American in me. I don't have chest hair, so I'm Native enough. Okay.
Thank God for that. Chest hair is weird.
The 82-year-old says he accepts the findings of the genealogist with the organization, but writes in his essay, I feel, though, as I have been ripped in half.
Well, yeah, he just lost his identity.
Not the Indian I had in mind. Not Indian at all. Damn. He said he never meant to intentionally mislead people, believing that he genuinely had Native American ancestry. Fucking L, dude. That sucks, my guy. King said he grew up with family stories that his father's biological father, King's apparent paternal grandfather, was a man named Elvin Hunt, who was part Cherokee. Still, King said he long followed the rumors about his ancestry. I knew who I was, knew my family history, and at the time I realized that I wasn't a good Indian. I hadn't been raised on a reservation, didn't speak Cherokee. So yeah, you're not Indian, dude.
I mean, but...
Yeah, my family has Indian in it, but it's, like, really thin.
Yeah, I'm probably, like, 1/128. I'm sure my mom knows. Yeah, I'm not enough to, like, get any benefits from it. But it's fine. Man, I feel bad for this dude. I'm sure he, like, grew up his entire life back... I'm a Native.
I mean, as long as this doesn't affect his book, which I don't think it should.
I mean, the book has already been turned into a fucking movie. This was back in 2012. Like, I've never even heard of this book. You know. Yeah, I mean, it's been 13 years, dude. You know, your book has already gone through its whole thing. So. Yeah, I mean, sorry, dude. But, you know, not sorry. It sucks. Next story. Oh. Yeah, I saw the title of this one. I'm just like, fuck yeah, about time. Man divorces wife after she puts him in debt, sending $94,000 to a male streamer.
Is this U.S. dollars?
U.S. dollars, okay. Yeah. A man in central China has filed for divorce after learning his wife blew their life savings on a male streamer, sending him 670,000 won, around $94,000 USD, and leaving the family deep in debt. Mr. Liu from Xinhao spent 8 years living frugally and funneling nearly all of his income to his wife, hoping to give her a sense of security. According to the South China Morning Post, he saved about 1.16 million won, about $163,000 USD, during that time, all of which he entrusted to her. Bad move, my guy. Always a bad move. But when he recently asked to check the account, his wife refused, raising suspicions. Later, she broke down and admitting that the money was gone. Out of the 1.16 million won, she had tipped 670,000 won to the male live streamer she followed obsessively. She couldn't explain where the rest of the money went. On top of that, she borrowed another 80,000 won, about $11,200 USD, from online lenders, pushing the family into debt. Liu said that he lived on bare bones rental costing just 300 won, $42 a month, while sending nearly every spare cent home. His wife had been a full-time caregiver for their child since they were married 8 years ago. I have been saving money on food and expenses and offered all the money to her. However, she gave all that money to another man. Fuck. She told Han TV that he had felt like he had been stabbed in the back and no longer loved her. The wife admitted that she had become obsessed with the streamer. Chat logs reportedly showing her asking him to call her baby, though that she insisted they never met offline. With the savings wiped out and 80,000 won in debt, Liu now plans to recover half of the couple's common property before filing for divorce. This isn't the first extreme case of viewers sending massive streams to live streamers. Last year, another man in China live streamed on Steam Bun, streamed his life savings. He sent a streamer $550,000 just to be called bro.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's who I should. You know, Mochi, can you stop it? I know you'll get all the love here in a bit, okay? Let me just finish. Okay. Find a happy spot at least. Like, just like lay down or do something. Okay, there. You happy? Yeah, I would not be happy if you fucking, you know, sent like, you know, all my money to.
The fuck would I do that for?
But yeah, this is what I need to do. Is just, you know, need to like, you know, learn how to speak Korean. To be like, hello, my Korean friends. And like call them bro and stuff. And like, send me $1 million and I'll call you bro. I'll call you on the phone. What's up, bro? Oh, yes, Alex Lord, no, yeah. But, you know, they have that money to do that. You know, I feel bad for that guy. That sucks. But now on to some advice and some am I the assholes. So, on advice, I saw this one by Yummy006. Is a sexless relationship actually possible? 20 female. Yes, Mo. Yeah, I'll be done here soon, okay? You want to find a happy spot? And you want to just, you know, okay, give you scratches. I'm 20 female. I've only been in 2 non-serious relationships. One of them involved sex, and honestly, I don't feel anything during sex, and I don't really see the point of it. I feel like men are the only ones who truly enjoy it. When I realized being in a relationship meant I was expected to do it more often, I started looking into birth control methods, but that actually pushed me into making the decision to stop having sex altogether. Even if birth control is effective, there's always a chance of pregnancy. Plus all the hormonal side effects and changes to my body, it just doesn't feel worth going through all that for something I don't enjoy. Now I'm kind of spiraling because I feel like I'm never going to find a guy who'd want a serious relationship with someone like me, for whom sex is a hard no. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic, but the few male friends I had saying they can't be in a sexless relationship. Are there any men here who can give me some advice or perspective? Is it realistic to hope for a relationship like that? Yeah, I mean, you can make a pen pal with a fucking prison inmate. You can just, you know, send them letters back and forth, and they'll tell you how pretty you are and shit. And no sex.
I mean, being ace isn't bad.
But yeah, I mean, you just have to find someone like you. It's not an impossible task. It is a harder task, though. Just know that.
Also, has OP ruled out that she's not a lesbian and is just not attracted to men?
I mean, most people haven't. But the comments, so yeah, I mean, just find someone like you if you want a relationship. Honestly, you may be asexual. A sexless relationship is super possible, but finding a partner who is genuinely cool is the real challenge. Yep. I also want to add to this, I am demisexual. I don't know what that means.
It means you need to have a romantic connection with someone in order to feel sexual arousal from them.
Oh, neat. I always wondered if I was ace until I found out that I just really wasn't connecting with my exes on the level that I needed to. I needed to feel physically comfortable to freely enjoy sex. That makes me sad to type, but that's why my straight relationships were like, no deep emotional connection possible. Thinking that's how I was going to be. Glad figuring out that I'm probably pan. Sexless relationships exist, no doubt. The main hustle is meeting someone who's chill with that setup. Yep, just find someone that's, you know, into that.
I mean, OP's only 20, though. Like, there's still... Experimentation should still be done. Like, don't... Like, she should explore other avenues for romantic partners. 20's too young to cut yourself off.
I mean, you can just, you know, be friends with people. It's fine. You know, find like that nerd that's like too scared to even ask for it. And then boom, there you go.
Well, that's not fair to the nerd. Eventually the nerd will want some, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get like, you send the nerd out and back there. There's a bunch of ladies, and you go say hi to those ladies. Hey, what's up, ladies? Do you want to see my penis? Oh, no, don't say that, nerd. Fuck. I mean, I feel like we all have, like, that one friend that's just like, ah, no, why did I bring him, you know, out to, like, the strip club? I think she really likes me. Oh, my God. It's like, No, you paid her $20 for a private
like
dance.
Like Ben's friend who kissed the hooker?
Yeah, that... I mean, I still keep up with him. He's still my friend on Facebook. And, like, I see everything that he's doing. I'm like, fuck, dude. Like I should message him, like, dude, remember when you kissed that hooker? Told her you loved her? In North Dakota? It's like, oh, dude, don't remind me. I'm like, yeah, I figured you just, like, needed something to cheer you up. Like, he lives in Germany now. So he'll never hear this. But it's fine. Like, you know, he lives in Germany, you know, got a divorce and, you know, not like for a minute there, he was on Facebook talking mad shit. Like, holy fuck, dude. And then he like immediately like deleted all of it. Just like he came out with like the most hatred, you know, hateful, vitriolic shit. You know, I'm like, damn, dude, like, you are going fucking hard. Like, fuck this dumb bitch whore. You know, it's like, they deleted it all. He's like, I'm working on myself. I'm like, that's growth. You know, I'll give it to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, all right, you're fine. You know, but... Now I kind of want to message him back. Remember when he kissed that hooker? But fuck everything. He just like explodes on Facebook again. Blocks me.
No, that's like one of his like deep dark thoughts when he's trying to fall asleep at like 1 a.m. It's like, remember the time?
Remember the time I kissed a hooker. And what's funny is he like met his wife in like, you know, North Dakota, like with us. Like, that's where he met her. I don't know what the fuck she was doing in North Dakota.
Would you have gone out with any of the girls you knew in North Dakota?
I didn't know any girls in North Dakota.
Okay, good.
Like, the fucking ratio, let me break this down for you. The ratio of girls to, or women to men was about 22 to 1. Like, so for every 20 men, 22 men that were out there, one woman. And I remember, like, there was one day I was, like, sitting at the Walmart parking lot. And I don't know what the fuck I was doing there. I was doing something. Like, something stupid. And I'm, like, just watching this cart fucking get pushed by the wind. You know, just traveling around the fucking parking lot looking for a victim. And then I see this woman get out of her car. And then she goes to the front of, like, she has a truck. And I see her go to the front of the truck. And you know, she's trying to pop her hood, but she has that secondary safety latch. And I watch her for 20 minutes. Just, you know, trying to figure out, go back in, you know, hit it again. You know, just trying to figure out how to lift the fucking hood. I already knew how to do it. And I'm just, like, the cart is a distant memory at this point. And I'm just, like, watching this lady. I'm like, how do these women get married to a man? They're too stupid.
There's this thing called the internet. Like, if I can't do something and it's taken more than 7 minutes.
Oh, no. Like, she had no idea I was even sitting there watching.
If I was trying to figure out how to get under my hood, I would not go ask some random stranger.
I was, like, across the fucking lot. You know, like, I wasn't, like, you know, right across the way.
Were you
like,
eating anything?
I think I was, like, waiting for fucking Ziploc or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I had a friend named Ziploc. Because, you know, he came to me, you know, he's like, hey dude, I'm about to get this job, but I need some fake piss. I thought like they were going to like hire me on like here in a couple months, like once like my fucking contract ended, but they want me now. And I'm like, do you have clean piss? I'm like, I do. And so I piss into a Ziploc bag And I give him this Ziploc bag and some fucking, like, duct tape.
That's not
And so...
You peed in a Ziploc bag?
I peed in a Ziploc bag with this man, yes. You know, enough to, like, fit, you know, fake the test. And so I'm like, all right, you know, get up in there. Go, you know, do the fucking test.
Wait, you would have passed the piss test?
Yeah, of course.
In North Dakota?
Yeah.
Weren't you, like, doing everything?
Yeah, after I got a fucking job.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, so, like, I gave him, like, this fake piss. Or, not, well, like, real piss, but it was my piss. And a Ziploc. And he, like, duct tapes it to his fucking leg.
No!
Yeah, yeah. So, like, just, like, on, like, the inner, like, by his penis.
But it's a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, I'm aware. Like, trust me, I know how the story ends. And so he, like, goes in, he waddles in, he's like, all right, I'm here to, you know, do my test. And so as he's getting the fucking Ziploc bag, you know, off his leg, it explodes all over him. Just all over him. Just like... And like 20 minutes later, he comes walking out, a piss stain, my piss stain, on his pants. And so I look at him, and I'm like, how'd it go? Maybe just, you know, maybe it all worked out. He's like, they found the Ziploc. they found the Ziploc bag. I'm like, oh, why are you wet? I'm just like, He's like, well, so I was getting the Ziploc bag off of me and it exploded. And I got pissed everywhere, dude. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, did you get any of it in the cup? He's like, no. And he's like, then I had to use my own piss. I'm like, you could have just quit your fucking job, dude. You could have just, like, not had a fucking job and, like, had another job tomorrow. It'd have been fine. But he's like, yeah, man, that's on me. I'm like... And I was driving my car, so, like, I had to, like, I'm like, at least it was my piss, you know, getting on my seat. So I'm like, fuck, okay, yeah. And, like, you know, driving back to fucking work, and, like, he got, like, fired. I'm like, God, that sucks. And like, all of our friends, I'm like, his name is Ziploc, and I told him all the story.
Yeah. I mean, when that happens and you get the kind of name, it kind of becomes a badge of honor, so you got to keep it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, pretty much everyone had a nickname. I was Thomas, we had Steinberg, fucking Big Hoss, Baby Huey. You know, like, everyone had a fucking nickname. You know, he was just Ziploc.
Nickname or an alias?
Nickname.
What's the difference?
An alias is, like, you know, something... That, like, when you're doing, like, a spy mission, they call you. Like, yeah, they call me the Steed. It's like, why do they call you the Steed? It's like...
Oh, like, when they give, like, the flat, like, package, like, brown package, and it says papers?
What?
Yeah! When you get a fake ID, it comes in, like, a small brown package. Like, the flat ones you put, like, donuts in.
I've never had a fake ID.
But they say papers. Like in all the black and white movies my parents watched. Because it's a valid source of information, right?
No. I'm pretty damn sure, like, the black and white movies your parents were watching, we were just like Reefer Madness over and over again. Oh, let's watch Reefer Madness again.
I saw that. I never watched that. I watched that with someone else.
I watched that with my friend.
It's the repo dude, and he has, like, the car that, like, grows green and it flies at night.
What?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Reefer Madness was a propaganda film against marijuana.
Oh, well, that's sad.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Hand me my beer.
I mean, the podcast is almost over anyway. But yeah, I'll end on, you know, this whole Reefer Madness. Like, Courtney, have you ever seen Reefer Madness?
Like, I heard of it, and like, I think I saw clips of it when I was a teenager. We were making fun of it.
So, like, I went over to my friend Ariana and Sean's house, and, like, you know, she's like, hey, have you ever seen Reefer Madness? And she pulls out this fucking DVD, and I'm like, no. She pops in this fucking DVD of Reefer Madness, like, we're gonna watch Reefer Madness. We're all fucking smoking mad amounts of marijuana at this point. Like, we're all fucking blazed. And it's this propaganda film about the dangers of marijuana. And so, you know, like, it just, like, shows, like, all the bad things that can happen, like, when you're, like, smoking weed. Like, there's a scene where, like, this dude's, like, in the fucking closet, like, fucking smoking weed like a crackhead. You know, and, like, this lady's, like, you know, playing the piano. He's like, faster. Play faster. You know, it's like, I'm like, that's crack. That's cocaine. That's, you know, not good stuff. And, like, we're just sitting there just, like, dying laughing at this stupid-ass fucking movie. And I'm just like, maybe weed is bad. Or maybe weed is actually good. And then, like, I don't remember too much more about the night because, like, we started fucking smoking more weed and I forgot. Like, there's, like, a decade of my fucking life where I'm like, I have fucking no idea what happened there. There could be bodies. I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's when y'all knew me, so. You know, I was smoking mad amounts of marijuana back in them days. Like, back when I worked for Walmart, like, we'd go out and have safety meetings, and you know, just, like, smoke weed. But the one thing we didn't get to is, am I the asshole for telling my sister that she shouldn't have sex after she had a hysterectomy? Yeah, you should have just let your fucking sister suffer, dude. I'm not going to even read the story. You know, obviously the doctor told your sister all the warnings, like, don't fuck right now. You know.
Yeah. People are dumb.
We turned your pussy into a balloon knot, so just leave it alone right now.
Yeah, leave it alone, people. Oh my gosh.
Listen to your doctors. But, you know, that's it for this week. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. I worked. It's fine. And we'll be back, you know, hopefully next week if I remember to upload this episode. I mean, like, there's like a 70% chance. I'm like, did I fucking upload last week's episode? Probably not. Now I have to, like, look on this fucking episode to see if I fucking uploaded last week. And no, did not. So, yeah, you can get a little double episode. Isn't that cool? A little fucking twofer. Neato.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye.